Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We got your front too. 816, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Ronald Surpass, former head of the NOPD, head of the Washington State Police, Nashville City Police, now a professor of practice in the Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola. You'll see him on TV occasionally as an expert that the cable channels call on, networks call on and talk to. And he is Dr. Surpass, as a matter of fact, but we just call him Ronald. How you doing, Chief?
I'm great, Tommy. How are you today?
I'm okay. Let's talk about, since the budget is in bond commission and all that stuff and is in the news, let's talk about budgeting for a police department. How do you even go about determining a budget for an NOPD, for the department, or any department for that matter?
Yeah, so Washington State, Nashville, and New Orleans are very similar in the process. The executive, the mayor, the governor sends out notice to each department to build a budget. Sometimes there's provisos on zero-based budgeting. A lot of people don't use it anymore. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a proviso, reduce your budget by 5% because we have crises, make your recommendations, or increase. The department does that, then it all goes to the chief administrative officer in New Orleans or the chief financial officer in Nashville or the chief of finance in Washington. They take all the budgets from all the agents under the control of the governor or the mayor, and then they sit down and present to the mayor a final budget that the staff has developed with obviously the mayor's input, the deputy mayor's input, et cetera. You go through some negotiations. Sometimes you'll get to the very end and they'll say, we need another 3% in cuts in personal services, or we have another extra amount of overtime that we're going to give you. That then, once it's finalized by the chief executive, whomever they may be, it goes to the legislative body. They go through the whole process all over again. It's a responsibility they have and take seriously, and it's a good one. They vet the whole process out, and in the city of New Orleans, by December 1st, the city council has to approve a balance, not like the federal government, a city or state in Louisiana has to be balanced. The revenues have to meet the expenditure. That is approved on December 1st to be effective on January 1st. Now, here's where there's been some disagreement. Maybe things have changed. It's not uncommon that you have more budgeted police officer positions than you have staff. That means you have extra money in the payroll account every 2 weeks that you're not spending. It's been historically used across the country to use that money to offset some overtime costs or build some overtime costs. But what is not unusual is at the end of a quarter or at the end of a year, the council will reclaim that money from the department to go to help solve other departments' problems. Now, when Big Jim was the council chair and when Big Jim Singleton, I'm sorry, not everybody might know this, when Jim Singleton was the council member B, budget committee chair, or the councilman at large, we had to go in front of him every month. He quarantined money. If he thought the department was overspending, he quarantined money as a councilmatic power. The same thing happened in Nashville. They quarantined money if they thought you were behaving inappropriately during the year. The same thing in Washington State. They quarantined money. So the other day we heard someone say that, well, the council has no authority to do that. But once we saw there was a overrun, we stopped spending for travel. Well, $125 million overrun in the budget this year, how much does spending for travel actually contribute to the deficit reduction? But more importantly, you can't say on the one hand you have no control over the budget, but then you stop spending for travel in the middle of the year. At the end of the day, maybe things have changed in New Orleans. I don't know, Tommy, but the entire 4 decades I did this, a council or a legislature had tremendous informal and formal authority to stop departments from overspending.
Take a break. Pick it up right here. Talking to Ronald Surpass, professor of practice, Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD chief. Also want to talk about blight because they're talking about cutting down on blight enforcement and what effect that has on crime. Also, I want to touch on murder-suicide because it seems to be up, but I don't know what anybody can do about that. 821 traffic now, WWL. 825, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Ronald Surpass. Chief, you know, there's been spike in murder-suicide as of late. There's nothing law enforcement can do about that, is there?
It's usually very difficult unless the persons who were involved had presented themselves in some sort of maybe a domestic violence event or some sort of a process where a medical professional might have said, we're seeing Tommy and Tommy seems to be losing attachment to reality. There might be efforts put towards the police. I was taught in the academy 45 years ago, Tommy, and I think it's still very good advice. Understanding suicide as a rational person is difficult because mm-hmm. suicide, by definition, is irrational. We see that often. People get very agitated sometimes without any prior indication at all, get very agitated and decide to take the life of someone usually they know and then themselves. It's incredibly sad.
When it comes to SNAP benefits, and, you know, there are plans afoot, I think, to keep them rolling and get the cards rolled, loaded up. Cameron Henry telling me earlier, for the elderly and disabled first, then the 40% of the kids, 40% of the SNAP recipients that are kids after that. Hungry people, not necessarily a good thing when it comes to civil peace, is it, if you look historically?
Well, I think anytime you don't feel comfortable in society, or anytime you don't feel comfortable in your personal self, and you start to find an answer, you might strike out against what you think is your oppressor, and that's not necessarily uncommon. Let's hope it doesn't happen. Let's hope, you know, cooler minds prevail. The great thing about the states in this country, many of them, like Louisiana, have to have a balanced budget. So they argue all this out before the budget's even passed. Mm-hmm. The federal government, on the other hand, you know, prints money. That's the old statement from the 80s and 90s. Remember, well, we don't go broke. We just print more mm-hmm. money. And that causes these types of debates to go past what would you think was the beginning of the year, right? So it's a very troublesome time for people who need help.
I heard Chief Kirkpatrick talk about traffic enforcement and raising revenue and traffic ticket quotas and so forth. And I don't understand the taxation without representation part of that, because you always have a right to plead your case unless it's a camera, right, and all that
right.
stuff. But when it comes to the importance of traffic enforcement as it relates.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
To deterring crime. Talk about that, if you will, because I was always under the impression that traffic stops were a great way to find out if somebody was up to something nefarious or not.
Well, I can tell you this. In the three places I served as chief, constitutional, proactive traffic enforcement did this: reduce accidents, which makes everybody's traffic day better, reduce injury accidents, which reduces personal injury and cost to all of us in society and insurance premiums. Horses don't transport criminals. Cars transport criminals. You find guns, you find warrants, you find dopes. The people who push against traffic enforcement generally don't understand, and my 4 years have chosen not to understand, that traffic and driving is a privilege granted by the state with some certain responsibilities so that you and I know we can drive safely. Here's the other line. You hear a lot of times people say, well, this traffic enforcement looking for licenses and stuff is just wrong. It's oppressive. Well, wait a minute. Tommy, if you leave work today and you get in a wreck, the law requires, and don't you expect that the person driving that car has a valid driver's license to identify them, has valid insurance to help make you whole from the damage caused?
Well,
so
yeah.
To say that we shouldn't enforce that is absolutely contrary to the agreements that we all make to drive.
And the other thing is, if you don't speed, well, then you're not going to get a ticket, right? I mean, I didn't understand that from the beginning.
Well, speeding is one of the top three causes of death by itself across the country, right?
Right.
Distracted driving is becoming a top three. Drunk driving is a top three. Speeding. Roads are engineered to only handle so much. Roads are only engineered to handle so much physics. You can only go so fast on a certain road with certain tires. So most of the time when you hear people resisting traffic, it's either because they got a ticket and they couldn't talk themselves out of it, which is mm-hmm. why they hate cameras.
Right.
Or B, we have to educate, enforce, and engineer roads to be safe, because people die. Tens of thousands of people a year die from speeding and automobile accidents. Is that something we should take seriously? I think so.
I can look at quotas both ways. I can look at it as you would have an officer looking for a reason to pull somebody over, or I could also look at it as you could have an officer actually enforcing the traffic rules, which maybe he may or she may or may not want to do. Thoughts?
Real quick, Tommy, I had a quota. Every drunk driver.
There you go.
My quota. Get every drunk driver. And here's the other thing. I want your listening audience to get in their car today and not find 10 people within an hour that they felt if they was an officer, they'd pull them over for bad driving.
Amen.
People see it all day. They see it all day.
Absolutely. Thank you, Chief. Appreciate it, Chief. We'll talk to Deuce McAllister when we come back. Time now, WWL First News.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.